This is Super Yacht Radio.
And welcome to Super Yacht Radio, coming live to you from the Monaco Yacht Show 2021. Is our very own Lucy. Lucy, how are you doing out there?
I'm doing so well. It's been a really wonderful first day, actually, here in Monaco. Very, very busy. It's been, today is the owner's day, the buyer's day, but still, there's a lot of people on the dock. It's been really wonderful to see some old faces and new faces. And yeah, all in all, it's a good day. And the sun is shining.
And that's what I was worried about, actually, because wasn't there predicted a downpour, which, you know, I have to say would have marred it somewhat, I'm sure. But fantastic.
Well, thankfully, guys, we're not having to deal with that. The sun is out of Monte Carlo, and so are the people. It is very busy here, many more people than actually I was expecting to see, and a really good atmosphere. I mean, obviously, there's good news in the industry all around, and so it's definitely some palpable good news flying around at this show for sure. And it's been a very busy day for us. We've seen a lot of people today.
So before we get into what you've seen, can you tell us, like, the actual practicalities? You know, a lot of people were worried how they'd be able to get in and out and all of that. How have you found that bit of the experience of getting into the show and moving around the show?
I must say, I think it's been handled absolutely expertly, especially since, you know, my experience, I didn't go to Cannes, and I know that the Cannes show, of course, was much freer, the French was much less restrictions than here in Monaco, but remembering back to the Palmer boat show, where we did have health restrictions, there was mask wearing, it was a bit clunky on the entrance. Here has been an absolute dream. I mean, really, it's been very, very simple. It was, you know, the guidelines were very clear beforehand, and it was very quick. For me to get my pass this morning took all 10 minutes, and I was expecting a much, and that was really just because there was a lot of journalists in the queue, not just because it was being, you know, badly handled. And in fact, today at one point, I lost my pass, it flew off, and I thought, oh no, God, am I going to get another one? And again, swiftly handled, very, very easily, 5 minutes, and I was back on my way. So actually, hats off to Informa, because so far it's been a pretty smooth run.
Brilliant. And how about restrictions? You know, normally there's a lot of walking around, and do they have it set up differently to the last time you were there?
Well, actually, no, I don't see that in terms of differences. There's still quite a lot of people walking the dock, and even today, which is the you know, the broker's day, the owner's day, the prospective charter's buyer's day, there's still a lot of people shimmying along the dock. So yeah, I don't see that so much, but there is full mask wearing outside in the open air, which is something that I'm really not used to coming from Palma. And I don't know if you guys have to do that in Ireland, but I doubt it. No.
What about the cafes? You know, there's a line of cafes around Port au Cure, which during the show were then taken over by companies and they host guests there. Are those cafes open? Can people go there to eat, or is that all?
No, all absolutely open. And in fact, our friends at Omni Access are sponsoring one of those cafes today. I saw them today on the stand. And yeah, absolutely open. It's very much a booming atmosphere here in Monaco, I must say. I mean, although I think we're all much more used to mask wearing, it doesn't seem to be affecting people in the slightest, really. And in terms of bars and restaurants, they're full.
It's a bit like safety belts. I feel weird if I don't put one on.
Well, and then do you have the, Lucy, do you have the dance? Have you seen someone, and instead of your usual greeting of hug and kiss, are people kind of like, what's now the international form? Do we elbow bump? Do we wave? Do we, or is it just sort of natural flowing because we've been doing it so long?
I really think that it depends on who it is that you're seeing. I think for lots of people who haven't seen old friends for a long time, I think the fist bump thing's gone right out of the window and everyone's back to normal. I mean, here you have to remember, you know, people who've had it fully vaccinated are wearing one kind of wristband. People who are coming with a test every day are wearing another kind of wristband. But still, I mean, you know, entry is that you have been tested or that you are fully vaccinated. So in fact, you know, they are doing as much as they possibly can to keep everybody safe here. And I think that's been felt. But in terms of there being an international, the way we do things now, no, absolutely not.
I did, you know, if it was going to start somewhere, it might start in Monaco. So
it it has been slightly difficult to connect with people that you do know, because, you know, without running out into the middle of the dock and screaming and waving. I saw a friend today and we kind of recognised him. He was with a client and I was with somebody else. And there was kind of a nod and a wink, but it was like right at the last minute, you know, and you almost just walk past somebody because you're not sure you recognise them with sunglasses and a full mask. You know, it's not the same as seeing a smiling face. Absolutely not.
Yeah. And add a baseball cap onto that and you've got the perfect disguise.
No, exactly. Well, we all know what we should do if we want to go incognito now.
So you've had a busy day, which started early with Heeson's. Tell us about that.
Yes, I will. This morning was an early morning, an 8 a.m. start at the beautiful Hotel Hermitage, where Heeson did their inaugural press breakfast. And of course there's been some huge changes at Heeson in terms of management, and they're going through a huge rebranding, so there was a lot to talk about. And the room was full of journalists, and we were very, very spoilt afterwards with the lovely breakfast. And I got to catch up with some of our fellow correspondents from other publications, Julia Zaltzman of the Rob Report, for example, Gael, who runs Yacht Style, and got to talk with some of the designers, interior designers, on some of Heeson's recent launches like Skyfall and Mosquito. So, yeah, a really lovely way to start the morning. And I know that you guys posted the video that I took from the Hermitage this morning, just to prove that it's not...
Such a nice entrance.
Oh my God, it's the best view, isn't it, in town? And so, and as you can see from that video, the guys who watch the social channels, full of boats, full to bursting, Port Hercule, as ever. So no change there.
Yeah. And then moving on, you went from Heeson's to very cool tenders.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really interesting. And we did a really nice interview chat with the CEO of that company, Mark Pascoe, who you probably know is an industry veteran with Pascoe Tenders and has been working for 25 plus years in the industry. And now in 2021, he's created a new company, Falcon Tenders. You might remember, Dave will probably remember that Mark Pascoe is the one who was responsible for the tenders on the Maltese Falcon. So he's got now his own brand new brand of tenders, to call them just tenders, really, I mean, they are high luxury limousine tenders with all of the accoutrement that you would find on a yacht. You really feel like you're sitting in the saloon in those tenders, much less like it's a small, I mean, and this one that I was in, it was 10 meters, so not really a tender size for most people, but really spectacular. And that's brand new, just about to launch. In fact, we couldn't go on the yacht today, the tender today, because it wasn't ready. It's got to go back for some more sea trials. So literally fresh out of the box, that one, and definitely one to watch, I think.
You love that new tender smell.
It had a new tender smell. It even had at one point, he was pressing a button and it was like it was sending smoke into the air and incredible lights, you know, with a sound system that would, you know, put any yacht sound system to shame. It's absolutely incredible. And as he rightly said, you can have the biggest 200 meter boat that you like, 180 meter boat, but in the end, the thing that people most see is when you come into the harbour in your tender.
Actually, if you have a 200 meter boat, all people see is the tender.
No, exactly.
Arenas, you can put that in.
No, exactly. And so that market is growing exponentially, and brilliant to speak to Mark Pascoe about it, of course, a real veteran of the tender making and racing. So, yeah, really interesting chat with him. It's nice to see some new launches and some new stuff. I actually, before we saw the tenders, I went to see them at U-Boat Works, who have just launched a new sub. There's actually quite a lot of dogs at the show, as an aside, but I've seen quite a few here. But yes, no, seeing U-Boat Works and their new submarines is really interesting. They've got, they actually launched today, unveiled a new model called the Nemo 2, which is a two-person sub that can be launched not just from a yacht, but also can be driven to the water, you know, on the back of an SUV or something, and launched into the water. They're kind of trying to democratise submersibles, so it's really interesting to have a chat with them.
I think it's a really good idea, because you don't want to have a super yacht if you want a submarine. So to have a submersible, I think that would be very attractive for a lot of people.
Absolutely. And the price point, of course, is much lower.
Did you get to sit in one?
I'm not really in an outfit today where I'd want to climb into a submarine in front of a whole bunch of people with cameras. But I'm going to try and organise it at some point later on in the week. But yes, and the price point for these submarines as well is going to be at like 600,000 euros, which of course is a lot of money, but not if you're in the market for expensive toys, and much cheaper than some of the other super luxury submersibles that we've spoken about in the past.
If you're getting a submersible, you really don't want to go cheap on that one.
No, exactly.
That's not where you cut the cost.
Absolutely not.
It's an interesting part of the market. I mean, at the moment, it's big news, obviously, because of the recent political thing between Australia and the UK and the US for their nuclear subs on a big scale. But on a small scale, you know, we've seen this huge development. You got the pleasure last year of getting into one of the Triton subs. And, you know, particularly over the past 10 years, these much more one to two person subs and what they can do has just been on an innovative takeoff, really, hasn't it?
I think the wonder of submersibles actually is that you never hear anybody who's been in one ever just go, oh, it was okay. It was always like, oh my God, it was amazing. You know, it's got that true wow factor. And you're right, actually going to visit the Triton factory and see the LF was kind of amazing. You know, a machine that goes down to the deepest point in the earth. I mean, it's like going to see a NASA rocket. Really, really impressive. But yes, that was super fun. And it's so nice to see brand new launches at the show that just aren't yachts, to actually see some other, you know, to see the toys and to see the tenders and to see what's happening there is always fascinating. Of course, you don't get a show anywhere else in the world, apart from perhaps in the States, where you get the same kind of high end of that part of the market. So it's been really fascinating.
We've had emails from campers, from Scalatti's, from so many companies this morning announcing the sale of a yacht. Yeah, it seems to be, I don't know if they've timed these just to go out at the start of the show, but there was a lot of activity.
Dave, there's more activity. I think there's more buoyancy, more promise than there has been ever since the early noughties. I mean, and that was actually said in the press conference this morning over there at Heaston. I mean, really, yachts are being sold, speculative yachts are being built, and everything in the yard is sold. I think the problem is going to be finding inventory for brokers now, not selling yachts. It's a really interesting time.
I know they're looking at Wuhan for the source of the COVID-19, but the shippers got together and kind of decided, because since COVID, they are having such a big deal.
I spoke today, actually, it was a perfect little segue to what I was just about to say. I had the real pleasure today of speaking with Luca Bassani, CEO of Wally, aboard the brand new Wally, launch Y200, which we spoke about extensively when it was launched, their new motor yacht, because of course it is, you know, a different shape and it's a departure from what they usually do at Wally. But I will say now, they have absolutely got it on point. And he said as well himself, when we spoke, who would have imagined, one, that there was going to be a global pandemic, but two, that would have meant every single person who could afford it wanted to buy a boat. And that's all the way up from the 30 or 40 foot family yachts to these enormous giga yachts we look at here in Monaco today. It's absolutely extraordinary.
And it's not just those who can afford it. We spoke with Captain Jimmy Glee down in Southeast Asia yesterday. And he was telling us about a new owner he was doing a delivery for. And he basically spent his last penny on buying the boat. He's got absolutely no extra cash. And so, there's even people pushing their financial limits to get a boat. And I don't think even thinking forward to maintenance charges, etc., etc.
It's fascinating, isn't it? I mean, I think, you know, there is, of course, some sort of post-pandemia euphoria that you would expect. However, I don't think that accounts for the kind of mega boom we are seeing here in the yachting industry, especially at the largest end of the market. I mean, it's really turning out to be quite a spectacular time for the industry. And also that kind of innovation and that kind of cash flooding in is allowing companies to do incredible things. And so I think we're going to have some really interesting conversations, more conversations today in the next few days.
There's probably been a lot of people sitting on the line going, oh yeah, someday I must get one of those, but just never getting around to it. But with the pandemic and you actually looking into your bucket list and just adding into it, maybe there's a lot of people out there who thought, you know what, I'm never going to do it, and now's the time.
I think you're absolutely right that kind of if not now, when effect of, you know, having to think about, you know, your mortality in such a way as we all have done collectively in the last 18 months. I think it's been a huge factor, but I don't think anyone could have accounted for the fact that it was going to be like this in this particular industry. I mean, it's a really is a real boom time for yachting.
Long may it continue.
Absolutely. And the, when I spoke with Luca Bressani today, by the way, you're going to love that interview because, you know, of course, for the Wally sailing yachts are what we all think of, and to speak about them and their foray into past the Wally power into a different sort of motor yacht, fascinating. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting few days. I don't think there's going to be any bad news, put it that way. I can't imagine us reporting anything bad from this show. From so far, everyone seems quite happy. I've seen some of our friends as well. I've seen Avnish.
Lovely. And I saw Louise Overend from YPI was...
Yeah, I'm going to be looking forward to seeing Louise this week. Yeah, absolutely. I saw last night our friends from Northrop & Johnson from the brokerage side and also from the crew side. And we're going to be catching up with Marcy and Lena from Northrop & Johnson crew towards the end of the week. Please, so that's going to be really fun.
Please give my love to Marcy. I haven't seen her. Was it Marcy or Macy?
Marcy. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen her since the last time I went to Monaco Yacht Show. Had a lovely lunch with herself and Lucy Fox.
Well, you will absolutely be speaking to her if you are going to catch up with me on Friday, because we're going to do a live with those two so we can catch up with them in person. So that's going to be really great. Yes. And I have one more thing to go to this evening, and that's going to go and catch up with the lovely guys at Golfcraft. So I should be finding out what's happening from the production yacht side from the Middle East. So that's going to be really interesting, because so far we've just spoken to European producers, Italians, Monaco, obviously the Dutch. But it's going to be really interesting because I know that we haven't really spoken to many Middle Eastern producers at the radio, but this afternoon we will. So we'll find out exactly what's going on in that part of the world. So excited to do that, and we'll bring you more of that tomorrow. I'm going to be interviewing with their chairman, so that interview is going to be ready when you guys want it. But I'll give you the lowdown when we catch up tomorrow afternoon.
Brilliant. And I guess the only big change is that the usual plethora of great evening events and parties are not really happening this year logistically on many levels.
That's probably the only real difference. There aren't, you know, the huge parties. That said, I may have a few things to go to tomorrow, so watch this space. I might, by the time we speak on Friday, I might be a little bit less happy. But yeah, no, that there isn't. And I think, as I've spoken to colleagues, they've all said that it's more dinners, more smaller events. And I think actually, in a way, that's better, because you get real catch-ups with people rather than kind of lose them in a huge room full of, you know, people. So it's really nice. You can do much more personal catch-up. So I think that is a difference, but I think it's a good one this year. I think that it's necessary.
And also the amount of sore heads and managers that drag around the following morning, you lose a lot of the show.
Don't get me wrong, I think there's a lot of people who are still managing. I mean, everything is open in Monaco. I think people are managing still, but they're just doing it on a smaller scale. I mean, maybe that's even more dangerous. Yeah, I was yesterday night at the Fairmont with our friends from Northrop & Johnson, and it was busy. It was really busy. Yes, I don't think there's any less champagne or rosé being consumed here, Dave, than normal. But there's no canapes on the stand, for example, you know, those things that you'd expect to see around this time of the day. That's not existing because they can't do finger food. But I'm sure there are other events happening outside. And as I mentioned, the Golfcraft one that I'm just about to go to. So, yeah, I mean, they're managing to do their PR and marketing, as you'd expect, the big shipyards. But yeah.
Drinks at the stand that don't exist anymore.
No. How strange is it? I think they are allowed to hand out glasses of things, but I think they're being quite strict about how many people are on each stand. I mean, you know, not the swarms that would usually be around, you know, rosé time around 4 p.m. It's not happening. That said, I am at the moment inside in the... I'm inside in the press centre, and so since it's only 4:20, watch this space. Tomorrow there might be a completely different story, I'm telling you.
Another hour, things may change.
We can play these back to you. This was day one, and then day two, and then day three.
Exactly, and we all know how it goes. So, but yeah, it's so far, I would say it's been a really positive show, and you know, not, it's not empty. There's a lot of people here. And even on this day, which was kind of the broker's day, it's not an empty show at all. It's a busy show. So all boding very well for Monaco.
Super. Well, please stay tuned to our social media, because we will be sharing up some of the great experiences Lucy is having, as well as a little bit later on today and tomorrow, some of the interviews, in particular from today with Mark from Falcon Tenders and Luca Bassani from Wally. What a great start.
Yeah. And you'll also be having an interview that you'll complete tomorrow with the chairman over there at Golfcraft, who I'm about to see this afternoon. So he's my last order of the day. So, yeah, some interesting conversations for tomorrow.
Look forward to it.
Excellent.
Well, enjoy, well, my dear. And so lovely to hear from you.
Yep, signing off from Monaco, and I'll catch up with you again same time tomorrow.
Look Excellent. Forward to it.
See you then.
Thanks, guys.
That was our Lucy over in Monaco at the opening of the Monaco Yacht Show 2021. And sounds like it's a hell of a show. Look forward to catching up with her later. And for now, stick with us. More music.
You're listening to Super Yacht Radio.